are listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network at eurofolkradio.com. And now, it's the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. And returning with me today is longtime guest, friend, great researcher, great musician, Dr. Eric Karlstrom. And we're going to go into part two of what looks like it may be a lengthy series entitled The Phony War on Terror. So I'm going to bring him right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Andy. It's just good to be with you. And yeah, we have a tiger by the tail here. Of course, terrorism is a form of warfare. It's the use of violence or the threat of violence against domestic populations in order to intimidate and subject them to the will of the state, normally, because the greatest terrorists by far are the state. And of course, the United States is the greatest terrorist state in history. But we're always hiding behind a smokescreen of confusing terminology. So we don't do terrorism. It's the little guy with the backpack in Palestine. He's the terrorist. What we do is counterterrorism. Well, of course, terrorism is the same thing as counterterrorism. And the state terrorism is 1,000, 10,000 times more state-sponsored terrorism than the terrorist of the small private group. So this is a gigantic topic, and I'd like to, this is our second one on this, I'd like to refer people to my 911nwo.com website, which I've been working on for a long time, and you'll notice if you go on there, there's a whole series of subheadings like Operation 9/11, War on Terror is the second one, and then War via Finance, and then New World Order, and then UN One World Government, and then New World Religion, question mark, and then I get down to the controllers, and then mind control cults, and then directed energy weapons, geoengineering. So many, many topics. It's a huge website. And if we go to the War on Terror subheading, the very top one is my lecture notes from when I taught human ecology at California State University, Stanislaus. I taught 30 years as a physical geography professor. And environmental geography, and in that context, I was offered to teach this course, Human Ecology, which I enjoyed teaching for over 20 years, and I quickly realized that there were, it could go on almost any direction, because human ecology basically is the subject of humans' interaction with their environment. And when I learned that the military and the Department of Defense in the United States pollutes more than the top five chemical corporations combined, I realized that, let's look at the impact of America's wars and wars around the world on, the human population, on the environment. And I put together a lecture note for my lecture packet on the subject of terrorism and war about the year 2000. And so if people go to my War on Terror subheading on my 911nwo.com website, they can just click on the first article there, which is Terrorism and War. And we can go off of this, for the next couple of weeks if we want to, 3 weeks. But let me just read through some of the other topics that are on under this subheading. Worldview Warfare, Weltanschauungs Krieg, The Science of Coercion. Declassified counter-spy magazines, 1973 to 1984 issues, expose U.S. government, CIA, FBI, criminal, terrorist operations worldwide. Then the classic, anti-war classic by Brigadier General Smedley Butler in 1935 called War is a Racket. You think we in America believe our soldiers are out there preserving our freedoms. That's nonsense. They're working for the corporations and they are doing high-tech mass murder against, civilian populations in other countries in order to advance the American, or should I say the Anglo-Israeli-American empire. Then the next one is Growing Terrorism Watch Listing and Everyday Policing, ACLU Report 2016. The next one, United States of Tyranny, Department of Defense, Obama, Congress Legalize False Flag Propaganda, and that's, of course, false flag terrorist events, Gang Stalking and Treason. Then the next one, Protocols of the Global Terror Police State Gang Stalking, also known as Secret Extralegal Citizen Harassment and Extermination Program, CELCEP. I've done a lot of acronyms trying to, find a good one for this. As part of World Conquest Plan, question mark. Next one, post-World War II U.S. undeclared wars and or secret wars and war triggers, like 9/11 was a war trigger. You know, remember the Maine, sinking of Lusitania, you know, Gulf of Tonkin for the Vietnam War, blah, 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 going down through history. Every one of these orchestrated wars has a war trigger event, which fools the population into supporting this war, which, of course, benefits the military-industrial complex and the empire. Next one, shadow government, notes from Fletcher, Colonel Fletcher Prouty's book, The Secret Team, the CIA and its allies in control of the United States and the world. Next one, interviews with Colonel Fletcher Prouty. Next one, NATO's secret armies, Operation Gladio Exposed, worked all over Europe post-World War II, and in Italy it was called Gladio, and they, you know, terrorist operations. No Muslims involved. It was the CIA, it was the Masons, it was the people in those countries who were recruited to do these political hits, these political murders, including Prime Minister Aldo Moro in Italy. Next one, organized gang stalking, electronic harassment is a global Phoenix program. You talk about terrorism. The Phoenix program in Vietnam was a CIA program that targeted the civilian population for torture, murder, in order to, you know, to use the term, win the hearts and minds of the civilians. Well, in other words, murder the ones who don't go along and terrorize the others into submission. The next one, Monarch, the new Phoenix program. Now, this gets into combining the Phoenix program targeting of civilian dissidents in the United States, which is now what's happening with this global gang stalking operation and worldwide, with the MK Ultra Monarch mind control programming. And that's a huge subject we could get into. Then gang stalking, electronic torture as asymmetrical warfare against dissenters. This is a YouTube by Marshall Thomas, who wrote the book, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. The next one, inside job and yet much more, the 46 drills, operations, war games, and exercises of 9/11. This is a Webster Tarpley interview, Dr. Webster Tarpley, who wrote the book 9/11 Synthetic Terror, made in the USA. Summary of Tarpley's, the 46 drills, operations, war games, and activities of 9/11. I mean, this stuff is so, you know, I've done so much research on this that proves what's going on, and, you know, drawing on the work of others, of course. That's just the tip of, you know, that's maybe one sixth of the posts that I have under War on Terror articles. So let's go back to our terrorism and war lecture notes that I gave to my students in 2011. And, you know, it was in 2004 that I can trace my targeting back to. So who knows? Maybe the fact that I am talking about these things got me put in the terrorism watch list. There's about 3 million in America who the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have put on these bogus lists. Of course, most of these people are not terrorists. In fact, the number of terrorists is tiny because, as we mentioned last time, the FBI has manufactured this war on terrorism. Remember the quote, Trevor Aronson, 2013 book, The Terror Factory, Inside the FBI's Manufactured War on Terrorism. He says in the introduction, by August 2011, with nearly 10 years of terrorism prosecutions since 9/11, we had a database of 508 defendants whom the U.S. government considered terrorists. The way the data broke down was illuminating. Of the 508 defendants, 243 had been targeted through an FBI informant. 158 had been caught in an FBI terrorism sting, and 49 had encountered an agent provocateur. Most of the people who didn't face off against an informant were not directly involved with terrorism at all, but were instead Category 2 offenders, small-time criminals with distant links to quote-unquote terrorists overseas. 72 of these Category 2 offenders had been charged with making false statements, while 121 had been prosecuted for immigration violations. Of the 58 cases, I can count on one hand, this is the author speaking, Trevor Aronson, the number of actual terrorists, such as failed New York City subway bomber Najibullah Zazi, who posed a direct threat and immediate threat to the U.S. United States. Well, and then I put the little note, and he was probably a foreign agent, such as an Israeli agent posing as an Arab. That's the standard prototype. So what we have is a completely bogus war, manufactured war on terrorism, which now justifies taking out any enemy anywhere in the United States. If somebody is a political enemy of the United States, well, we'll put him on the terrorism watch list. We'll surveil him. We'll torture him with electronic weapons. We'll do our gang stalking protocols. We'll map his brain. I mean, all kinds of things going on with that. If a nation is not cooperating, well, we'll call them a terrorist state. But all of this is just a verbal hocus pocus. This is a sleight of hand. These are lies. This is worldview warfare. Weltanschauungskrieg, to use the Nazi term. Lies, 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 more lies. This is all we get from the mainstream media. Let me give one more quote, Andy, and I'll pause, let you jump in. Thomas Friedman, of course, Jewish columnist for the New York Times, said in 1999, for globalization to work, of course, globalization's, you know, what it's all about for these guys, America must not be afraid to act as the almighty superpower that it is. The hidden hand of the market will never work without the hidden fist. McDonald's cannot flourish without McDonnell Douglas, the designer of the F-15. And the hidden fist that keeps the world safe for Silicon Valley is called the United States Army, Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. Well, war is a racket. But I'll shut up there before I can just rattle on. Remember, I was a professor for 30 years. So, you know, you turn the on button and I can go. But I think a conversation is probably more interesting to the audience. So, Andy, I'll shut up for a second.
No, I found that very interesting, Eric. And there's so much information there. And of course, I think this is going to lead into the event that I've been talking about for a long while now, that there's going to be something cataclysmic on the horizon for us all. And I know recently there was a build-up of, I think, 300,000 troops, you were telling me earlier, on the Eastern Front in Russia by the Russians, folks. So by the time this show goes out, I hope that we're not in all-out war, but there, it's supposed to be some sort of drill, but you have drills for a reason. You test out your military for a reason. I was quite surprised about it in a way, because I really feel that the, you know, next World War, the World War III that Albert Pike talked about in his letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, I felt that this is going to be very little troop movement and more, you know, nuclear weapons and all these different things that they've come up with technology-wise over the years. But it seems that they're still being prepared to mobilise actual troops on the ground. So it's all very odd, like most things going on in the world today are, Eric.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we talked, Andy, earlier about the actual 46 drills that the, you know, maybe 50 different organizations, including all of the U.S. military branches and NATO and UN and NORAD and Canada and everybody were doing on the day of 9/11, which of course, and leading up to 9/11, which was, of course, was a trigger event and a false flag, synthetic state-sponsored terror event. That has, you know, justified this phony war on terror all these years. And all this was scripted, of course, by the Jewish neoconservative think tank Project for a New American Century in their 2000 manifesto, Rebuilding America's Defenses, a Strategy for Securing the Realm, which actually called for a new Pearl Harbor to mobilize public opinion to support a doubling of the Pentagon budget from then $300 billion a year to, well, now closing in on $800 billion a year. So that we, the empire, could conduct multiple theater wars around the world and accomplish Israel's foreign policy, which was to destabilize and balkanize and destroy its neighbors one by one, as we've done. And, of course, in Iraq and now doing very much so in Syria. Over the last 5 years, we've had a hot war in Syria and Libya. We've done the same thing there. And of course, Afghanistan, we attacked immediately after 9/11 on the pretext that Osama bin Laden had something to do with 9/11, which is a huge lie in itself. We may get to that. There's standard moves that are made by the CIA and the military. These false flag terror events, enormous amount of deception in the mainstream media. Wesley Clark, who was retired commander of NATO, said just shortly after 9/11, well, you know, we're going to, based on the PNAC, Project for New American Century blueprint, that the George W. Bush and Obama and now the Trump administration are following, U.S. is going to invade 10 countries in the next 5 years. Well, we're knocking them off, but we didn't get them in 5 years. But the same people who were advocating for war in Iran, you know, in the early 2000s, guys like John Bolton, who's a neocon PNAC member, are still advocating for war in Iran. And, of course, again, this is to balkanize and destroy Israel's neighbors so Israel can create its greater Israel, Eretz Israel, nation by taking more and more and more land, but also so that the oil companies, of course, can run their pipelines where they want, can get the contracts, Bechtel and, you know, Martin Marietta and Boeing and Halliburton. And you know, it's really the corporatocracy that is you know, running the world in concert then with these intelligence and military operations. But yeah, this situation in this fall is looking very, very ominous. I guess people better pray up, pray that World War III will be averted, because this seems to be what is being orchestrated. And, you know, whether you want to attribute that to, Albert Pike's, predictions or Masonic goals or the Jewish objective of world control domination, which has been articulated throughout history, that's kind of up to you. But if you look at the data, those connections are there, for sure. And so basically, terrorism is a form of warfare. To have a war on terror is an oxymoron. How can you have a war on war? You can't have a war on war unless you want endless war. And of course, that's what the Pentagon wants. That's what the corporations want in concert with the Pentagon. That's what, the revolution, world revolutionary movement, which is Judeo-Masonic satanic, as you know better than, most. All these objectives then are satisfied by, mayhem and death and mass murder and they just don't shy away from it. They seem to relish it. I think there is a spiritual component here. I think that, the Masons and the high-level Illuminati and the Satanists, they get a lot of pleasure and joy and, out of torture and out of terror and out of murder. It's hard for the average person to realize that, but there is that connection. Supposedly during the George W. Bush administration, there was a direct connection between Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo torture centers and the White House. So Cheney and Bush are sitting there watching these movies of these, children being raped in Abu Ghraib and these victims, these goat herders from Saudi Arabia being tortured in Guantanamo Bay. And they actually, get off on it. So we have to wake up quick and realize that the people that are running our governments have sold us out on a massive scale. And we have to, as a people, have to weigh in and say, hey, this is our country. You can't do this to us. What is America for? America is to protect the life, liberty, and property and pursuit of happiness of its citizens. It's not to wage war all over the world for Israel. But we have been co-opted. It's a big new Brzezinski, who's, of course, been a very prominent Jewish, Eastern European Jewish advisor to Obama, just like George Soros, another Eastern European Jew. These guys have been basically running America under Obama. And Brzezinski wrote a book in 1970 saying it's called... what's it called? America's Role in the Technotronic Era.
I know the one, the Grand Chessboard. That was another, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a more recent one. But the early one is America's Role in the Technotronic Era. They might have a previous part of that title. But anyway, this Eastern European Jew presumes to tell America what its role is. And he's saying in 1970 that, you know, that their technology will allow leaders to conduct secret warfare using technologies that the public has no idea about. And things like HAARP and, you know, induced earthquakes and things like mind control, et cetera. He knew all this stuff in the 1970s, as did the other top military and political planners. And he wrote a book. It's called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. And, you know, you go through these quotes and you realize these are our planners. These people are planning our future. And they have been doing this for decades, you know, going back to World War II. At the end of World War II, our military and political leaders had sold out America. They said, okay, we have to have one world. We have to have a one world government. And this is, you know, well known amongst the elite. It was not told to the people. That's called treason. So, you know, what we have is, and this comes out in Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty's book, The Secret Team, the CIA and its allies in control of the United States and the world. He wrote that in 1973. So we have a lot of catching up to do. I mean, we are so clueless in America as to what's going on. It's pathetic. It's ridiculous. It's like we're all in kindergarten. We've all been, you know, dumbed down to a kindergarten level of understanding, and we don't see what's going on amongst the planners. And yet the documentation is there. You know, and as a professor, I tend to look for that kind of documentation and see these trends. You know, it is a criminal enterprise in the United States. It is the world's empire. It is now going for total full spectrum dominance of the world. Space, cyberspace, the human mind, these are madmen. And yet most Americans are sitting there waving the flag saying, you know, our boys, you know, in uniform are, you know, preserving our freedom. Even as our government is targeting us with mind control and trying to turn us into zombie slaves through the Monarch program, which is MK Ultra. I mean, the break between reality and perceived reality and reality is so grand, so monstrous, it blows my mind. And that's, of course, why I like to play music and you know, go to Bible study, because, you know, I mean, there's got to be something positive to get us. And I live in a beautiful place and I like to hike, et cetera. What's going on in the world is absolutely horrendous. What's going on, you know, Syria has been, you know, deliberately destroyed over the last 5 years by, you know, Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry, and the U.S. military. And, of course, the U.S. military funds all these terrorist groups like ISIS and the Mujahideen, you know, in Afghanistan, and the Contras in Nicaragua, and, Al-Qaeda. All these things are funded and staffed by U.S. and Israel, in order to topple foreign governments, in order to advance the goals of the empire, which is the corporatocracy, which is the state of Israel. Ariel Sharon, the prime minister of Israel, said after 9/11, you know, people say, you know, America's going to do this and America's going to do that. Don't worry about what America's going to do. I'm telling you, we, and he's referring to the Jews and Israel, we control the United States, and the Americans know it. This is what he said. He was killed shortly thereafter, or he died shortly thereafter. But this is the fact. America has been controlled by the financial, Jewish, Wall Street, Dulles, Rockefeller, Harriman, Bush faction, which traces back mostly to the Illuminati, through the 20th century and certainly now. And this is well established on my websites.
Yes, and now's an ideal time for a break. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a new song that Eric has put together from his new CD, which is available at erickarlstrom.com. This song is called On the Sea of Life, and this should cheer us up after that depressing information. Here we go. Thank you.
the earth shall abide. Leaving all our trials here, many pleasures wait us there when we cross the foam and reach the other side. We are sailing onward, sailing, sailing o'er the foam. We are talking to the captain as the angry billows roll. Soon, yes, soon we'll reach the harbor and be safely o'er the tide. We are going over to the other side. Many millions now abide in that home beyond the tide, where the ransomed pilgrims wait free from care. There is room on board for all who will heed the captain's call and take ship for heaven's country bright and fair. We are sailing onward, sailing, sailing for the foam. We are talking to the captain as the angry billows roll. Soon, yes, soon we'll reach the harbor and be safely o'er the tide. We are going over to the other side.
I really enjoyed that, Eric, and it's from the new CD, Gospel Refrain. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I think when you're living in a world where there's such radical evil as gang stalking and all these concocted foreign wars, I mean, what can you do? You can't fight fire with fire. You can't fight evil with evil. You know, the only thing you can really do is try to, you know, fight it with truth and goodness you know, hold on to your faith. So this is a CD that I've made about almost 20 CDs over the years, because I've always had a passion for music. And that's me playing the guitar and banjo and doing most of the singing by overdubbing on that song. That's my sister also on the chorus. But I've taken some of my favorite Christian songs and recorded them and putting them on this CD, Gospel Refrain. I mean, this is my kind of a low-key evangelism attempt to try to, you know, encourage others and you know, get people thinking along these lines. You know, when you have such, we have extraordinarily evil Department of Defense and intelligence agencies. What they're doing around the world has been unconscionable, you know, for many, many decades. And this is what I bring out in these articles. You know, this is not new. And so again, you know, America professes to be a Christian nation, and there's a lot of people who are Christians, but they're not paying attention. I mean, after the second war in Iraq started in 2003, I put a bumper sticker on my truck, you know, which country would Jesus bomb? You know, which domestic civilian population would Jesus want to wipe out with incendiary, you know, napalms and bombs, firebombing. And, you know, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, Jesus is about peace and love. He's about, you know, life. Satan is about death. So we have the Department of Death, not the Department of Defense. And that pattern has been around for so long. Here's our most decorated soldier in history. Retired Brigadier General Smedley Butler wrote a small book called War is a Racket. In 1935, and here's what he says: I spent 33 years in the Marines, most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer for capitalism. Nothing has changed. Every war which Americans have fought or may fight in the future outside their own continental boundaries has been or will be a racket. a mean, cruel, yes, filthy racket. During our participation in the World War, World War I, our soldiers thought they were fighting to defend their homes, to make the world so safe for democracy. We're fighting a war to end all wars. Yeah, that's the propaganda. Rot, he says, pure, unadulterated, sickening rot. Most Americans believe that, you know, their sons and daughters fighting in, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria are helping to defend our freedoms. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're fighting to extend the colonial empire of the Anglo-American Israeli, now seems to be controlled mostly by Israel, but, you know, it's certainly a combine. And he goes on to say, war is largely a matter of money. Bankers lend the money to foreign countries, and when they cannot pay, the president sends Marines to get it. Why don't those damned oil companies fly their own flags on their personal property? Maybe a flag with a gas pump on it. So, you know, this short anti-war classic, War is a Racket, should be required reading for everyone. You know, he says in there that, you know, the military doesn't miss anything. They have their people who do the propaganda. They have their people to orchestrate the wars, et cetera. You know, they have their people who orchestrate the triggers to get the population on board with these wars. This is all a huge business. And America has been on a war economy. Definitely. He wrote this book in 35 between the world wars. But certainly we've been in a war economy deliberately since World War II. Which means truth is the first casualty of war, says General Hiram Johnson. And all warfare is based on deception, said Sun Tzu. Which means we've been lied to all this time through the mainstream media, which is government controlled. And 96% of the world's media now is owned by six Jews. So, you know, is it the CIA? Is it the Jews? Or, of course, is it the combination there? You know, Thomas Paine had this figured out in 1792. He said that there are men in all countries who get their living by war and by keeping the quarrels of nations is as shocking as it is true. But when those who are concerned in the government of a country make it their study to sow discord and cultivate prejudices between nations, it becomes the more unpardonable. 1792, Thomas Paine said that. Well, you know, if people will refer to this series of this article, Terrorism and War, which is just my lecture notes from my human ecology class that I put together around the year 2000, they find many, many, many choice quotes and a lot of very important information that they're not going to find in the mainstream media. The mainstream media, of course, is part of these operations. And, you know, I went to one of these geography conferences. I heard a guy named Bernard Nietschmann at one, and he was a Berkeley professor, and he'd written some papers about these Third World Wars, which, you know, the U.S. has been conducting right along in order, again, to maintain and expand the corporate empire. He says, well, they use a smokescreen of terminology. No, Chomsky and Herman have also written about this. And so when you see words in your newspaper saying, well, the United States, what they're doing in Nicaragua or, you know, Chile or Afghanistan or Iraq is national integration. He said, well, that really means territorial invasion. When the newspaper article says, well, what we're doing in Chile or Nicaragua or, you know, anywhere and it's intervening, and they say what we're doing is economic development. Well, that's really occupation. It's a military occupation. And when you see the word terrorism, what that really means, it's a part on the natives or the citizens of that other country, like Vietnam, to resist or fight back against the invading colonial forces. The nation peoples, there's 4,000 or 5,000. Actual tribes with their own language in the world, and they are subsumed in about 200 nation states. The tribal people never, you know, like the Hopi Indians and the Tibetans in China and the Mosquitoes in Nicaragua, they never said, hey, we want, you know, you guys to rule us. They've been around for thousands of years. So when we conquer those people, you know, we don't call them nation peoples. We call them terrorists. We call them separatists. We call them dissidents. We call them leftist insurgents in the media. We call them extremists. We call them tribals. We call them minorities. We call them ethnic groups. You see, I mean, the smokescreen terminology confuses everything and makes it acceptable for us to launch these third world wars and kill millions of people. Some estimate as many as 30 million people killed in these third world wars since World War II. State-sponsored terrorism, of course, is never called state-sponsored terrorism. It's called counterterrorism or counterinsurgency or low-intensity conflict. So we have to look beyond the smokescreen of terminology that the press gives us to see what is really happening. And what's really happening, of course, is empire extending itself by dividing and conquering. Now, when you talk about terrorism, you know, the U.S. government, George Bush would say, oh, we don't do terrorism. We don't torture. Of course, we torture and we do terrorism. These are ways to, you know, subjugate domestic populations at home and abroad. One really good example of that is the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, which for decades since World War II has been taking police and military people from Central and South America, training them in the art of suppressing their own populations, also known as terrorism and torture. And then we send those people back to conduct the death squads and kill 150,000 El Salvadoran natives, which they call terrorists, of course, and all they are is trying to survive. And that many in Guatemala during the 80s under Reagan. So the United States is always supporting these right-wing dictatorships that facilitate U.S. corporate dominance and territorial control in these third world countries. It has ever been thus. The whole Cold War was about that. You know, we had this big, you know, standoff, which is mostly propaganda and PR, between, you know, these two nuclear powers, the U.S. and the Soviet Union, you know, basically since the end of World War II till 1989. And that was the storyline to terrorize the populations in both countries into, you know, getting in line. Meanwhile, the U.S. is doing all their third world wars and getting the corporatocracy to control the resources in those countries and keep the populations poor. So we're conducting our third world wars, and Russia, Soviet Union, was conducting their third world wars in their sphere of influence. So that was a hoax, you know. And so we went ahead and deposed democratically elected president of Chile, Salvador Allende, who was a leftist a little bit, who wanted to, you know, give some of the wealth of Chile to the people. We deposed him in 1973 coup. CIA sponsored. We deposed Mossadegh in Iran in 1953 because he wanted to take 6% of the oil profits and keep it for the people of Iran. And the British and the American oil companies wouldn't tolerate that. So we sent in Kermit Roosevelt, who was CIA operated, with a few million dollars. And he was related to the Teddy Roosevelt president. And he destabilized the country and got Mossadegh ousted and eventually killed. We did the same thing in Guatemala in 1954. Jacobo Arbenz had been democratically elected. He wasn't a communist. He was a nationalist. He wanted to take a little bit of the land from United Fruit and other American corporations and let the peasants, you know, farm on it so they could live. You know, I mean, we're talking starvation economy down there. And, of course, he had to be deposed by Alan Dulles and the CIA in 1954. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. I can give you the list. I can tell you which countries. But there's another book by a former State Department guy called Killing Hope by William Blum, a history of CIA interventions in the world since World War II. And it's a big, fat book. It tells you all the times and places the United States CIA launched these wars to destroy the economy of that country, keep the people in rank poverty, and keep the country open, in our definition of the term, to U.S. economic penetration and control. So what we have then is, you know, at the end of World War II, the storyline was, okay, we're going to let all these countries like Vietnam do self-determination, you know, they can be liberated from their colonial rulers, which have historically controlled them. And as soon as that happened, then the CIA was in each country they could get into and bringing it back into the colonial model, which is we get their cheap labor and resources by covert means, by counterinsurgency operations, by these secret CIA wars. I mean, the history is horrendous. The United States has built up so much negative karma. You know, anything can happen now with these situation in because the United, you know, the U.S. and Russia still have, you know, 6,000 very potent nuclear warheads, weapons each. These are hydrogen bombs. Israel has 400 at least. You know, I mean, the threat of nuclear war is very imminent now. And we also have all these other weapons, these non-lethal weapons, these directed energy weapons that the U.S. has been using ever since the 80s in their revolution in military affairs. So, you know, again, the propaganda we get on the news is so radically different from the truth that I really wish people would sit on their behinds and read what's in this article that I've written, you know, and now it's online for everybody. It's going to take some work, people. You can't just kind of turn on the TV and expect to get the truth. You have to sit down and you have to read books and you have to read widely. And you have to become aggressive in the sense that the American nation is intended to be owned and operated by and for the people, not by this political class that is subservient to the financial interests that are often mind-controlled themselves, like the military people are now often mind-controlled. American people are going to have to wake up and take their country back.
Yes, and I've just got a statement followed by a question. And of course, we know that all our countries are run on a debt economy. And essentially what happens is the biggest generators of debt is war. And what a lot of people don't know is when two countries go to war, the victor has to honour the debts of the vanquished. Okay, and how the victor would honour the debts of the vanquished, for example, in some of the points Eric has raised, some of the historical examples, is say you go to war with Iraq, Iraq loses. Well, what did we want from Iraq? We wanted their oil. And we just say, oh, going to war with you cost us X hundred billion dollars or trillion or what have you, and so we're going to keep pumping your oil till we get that money. Of course, they're going to go on indefinitely. And so that's how it works and why it works on this framework. Am I correct there, Eric?
Well, yeah, the financial aspect of this thing is very complex. I mean, I think that's the general rule and has been through history as to exactly, you know, I really respect the economic historians like Dr. Webster Tarpley and Christopher Story in England, because if you follow the money, then everything really becomes, you know, more obvious. But I have to say, I'm not an economist. And, you know, so these and Catherine Austin Fitz has a website. She follows the money very cleverly. So, yeah, you need to get another guest to really knowledgeably talk about the economic situation. But I think in general, what you say is true. And of course, you know, the axis of evil that George W. Bush identified, you know, in the early part of his administration was Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. Well, those just happened to be the countries that did not have a Rothschild-controlled central bank. In other words, they're outside of the world financial system controlled by the king of the Jews, the Rothschilds. And so, therefore, they were the arch enemies designated. And, of course, who wrote that speech and gave it to George W. Bush to read it? Well, it was one of his Jewish advisors, you know. So, yeah, I mean, these patterns are definitely there. You know, as Dr. Ronnie Kilda, brilliant lady who was unfortunately killed by this organized gang stalking program, she was the chief medical officer of Finland for years, holds multiple degrees in medicine, and was a political insider because her husband was Norway's UN representative. She said, you know, the nations are the plaything of the elites. So, you know, to really understand what's going on in the United States, we need to understand the dynamics of infiltration by the Illuminati agentur like Henry Kissinger and, you know, Colonel Edward Mandel House and Bernard Baruch and all these financiers. Ari Fleischer, the Chabad Lubavitcher, was the, you know, chief of staff and spokesman of George W. I mean, you just look at all these connections and you see that the government itself has been co-opted, is controlled by this financial criminal syndicate that runs the world. And unfortunately, a lot of these people are, you know, pedophiles and you know, Satanists and so it shouldn't surprise us, you know, what happens. We've let our country be taken over by these powerful financial interests and secret societies associated with them. And the result is, you know, pretty dastardly, really. And yet most Americans are under the illusion that, you know, our military is over there to secure our freedom and that our boys are heroes. Well, our soldiers are, I would say also victims of the propaganda system, you know, and they're fighting for something they don't have no understanding of what their real role is. And so America has been willing to be the world's policeman, continues to be such, but it's really the policeman of the financial powers. And I'm sure that, you know, as soon as the mission of the United States is complete, as far as the financial powers are concerned, America will be destroyed in the most dastardly way. And that could be pretty soon if things in the Middle East go bad, which looks like they could. Perhaps you know that the U.S. is set to impose sanctions, complete sanctions on Iran in November 4th of this fall, and any country that trades with Iran. Well, Iran pumps out a lot of oil that China and Russia and other, you know, powerful countries use. And, you know, these countries may not be willing to get this source of oil cut off for them because, you know, let's face it, the world still runs on fossil fuels and people need it for all aspects of their society. And so by setting this thing in motion with all these sanctions in place, the United States is now, you know, bullying Iran. For what reason? Well, Israel doesn't like the fact that Iran is a powerful neighbor. Other than that, the U.S. has really no gripe with Iran. The U.S. has no gripe with Syria. The U.S. had no gripe with Iraq because Saddam Hussein was our stooge. He was a CIA guy, you know, just like Noriega, you know, in Nicaragua. I mean, the CIA has, you know, has this habit of putting their tin pot dictator in. And then when that dictator like Saddam wants to share some of the wealth with their people, you know, that's called the boomerang effect. And then they have to be removed. And the U.S. does it in the most brutal ways, you know, often sending in, you know, starting wars just to get a regime change. That's what this whole war in Syria is about. But it's also to balkanize Syria, get the oil and see who gets the spoils. So what's happening is that this financial branch at the top, you know, the Judeo-Masonic Satanists, as I call them, they're carving up the nations and just taking the wealth. They're doing the same thing with individuals with this gang stalking program. A lot of this is asset stripping. So they're asset stripping people with, you know, abilities and talents, and they're taking them. They're taking everything they can right now. This group is hellbent, literally, for world control, and they believe that it all belongs to them, this tribe. Well, again, like I said last time, I beg to differ. I don't think it all belongs to them.
Yes, the other thing that interests me, and we've only got about 5 minutes left, but I find that I get bounced about a bit because I have so many different guests on, and some people will say Putin's a good guy. Some people say, you know, all world leaders are controlled by these people. And I'll give different examples of this group here, and that's looking promising, and this guy, Orban, he's making good decisions, all these different things. But returning to the Russia situation, and kind of going full circle, because you talked about how these people almost have to have their satanic rituals, and, you know, Cheney and Bush watching the tortures at Abu Ghraib in the White House. And we know that their god is Lucifer. And, of course, Lucifer likes sacrifices to be made to him. And so every time they carry out their evil acts against people or against countries by war or torture or what have you, essentially what they're doing is it's another... bit of good news for Lucifer, the way that they would see it, another duty to Lucifer. And with Putin at the moment, what I've been really pleased about is the fact that Russia has really turned majorly Christian again, and they're building several churches every week. Christianity is going through the roof. And I had a theory that maybe what is happening, because we do see Putin surrounded by these rabbis and what have you, is that they're just fattening them up with Christians again so they can have a far more pleasant slaughter, because obviously their favourite victims historically have been Christians. And do you see any, you know, could I be onto something with that theory, Eric?
Yeah, you know, that's a very cynical interpretation and therefore probably correct. I think Putin is a Jew, you know, I've read that anyway. And it could well be that he is, you know, playing a role. I'm not sure about China. You know, I think that China, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, certainly the United States has, you know, penetrated China, you know, with Kissinger and Nixon and the corporatocracy back in the 70s. And certainly the China, you know, has been kind of maneuvered and controlled since World War II and before by the CIA, et cetera. But it could well be that this, you see, they also have their kind of racial superiority doctrine. They believe that, you know, they're the finest people in the world. They're the center of culture. They have a 5,000-year history. And I think they have aspirations to rule the world. So it could be that China is a bit of a wild card. It's hard to know about Russia. These war games that are going on, these drills that are now going to be happening in September, in the middle of September, starting September 11th, they could be theater. Or we don't know. You know, I mean, it's a good question, and I can't say definitively. Again, I think the elites do control the nation states. I think maybe China is a bit of a wild card. And Russia, I think we'll fight to defend Russia. You know, I don't think they're going to fight to defend Iran or Syria, but they have already imposed themselves in Syria and pretty well knocked out ISIS, which is, of course, controlled and funded by United States and Israel and Britain. You know, so all these war games that are being enacted and played out, very complex, but you can better believe that what we're getting on the mainstream media is propaganda. And you need to look deeper to find the commentators who can give you the historical perspective on what's going on. But yeah, things will be heating up this fall. And, you know, again, pray up, I think, if you're Christian. I think your point is probably, you know, could well be, you know, why is Russia gone Christian again? Could be that the world leaders decided, okay, we've imposed hell, communist hell on Russia from 1917 to, you know, 1989 when the wall fell, and then the Bankensteins carved it up. But now they've let it regenerate a bit, and now it's a, you know, coming back to a real Cold War type situation, it seems. So your question is a good one, and I can only speculate with you.
Yes, and the other thing that I would say about that with regard to China, I don't think they're too bothered about China. I think that's a very good point that you make of their culture. But of course, there's not really any white people in China. And the nations that they always target for, you know, obviously they'll go after any, as you say, places like Venezuela or Iran or whatever for their oil and various natural resources that they have. But the people that they've always been wanting to kill off are white people. If they kill a certain amount of Iraqis, it's only a means to an end because they want to get their oil, for example. But when they go to kill white people, they weren't having a war with Germany because they wanted to get Germany's oil or anything like that. Do you see what I mean? My point is that white people have always been targeted. And so China, I think you're right, they're going to sort of, you know, sit on the sidelines. And if two groups end up battling people to exhaustion, as again, Pike says, I think, that, you know, until people are spiritually and mentally exhausted, physically exhausted, then they may be all fit and ready to kind of launch an assault of their own to take the world while the world is in a very bad way. So that's some other scenario that could come into play. Of course, this is all speculative, folks, but this is all we can go with. We just see what we see, and you see what you see, and we draw conclusions, and they may be the same or different from your own. But before we go, because we're pretty much out of time, can you please give the audience details of your websites again, Eric?
Yeah, the website here most pertinent to our discussion is 911nwo.com. Out of that grew my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. I've also got one that dispels the myth and the propaganda of man-caused global warming called naturalclimatechange.org. Got one called San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com. And then my music site is ericcarlstrom.com. This new CD is not yet loaded on there, but yeah, there's a whole bunch of CDs that I've made. And that's kind of my, you know, passion and musical outlet is I think something very positive for me anyway. So I hope to share that with others.
Yes, and folks, that CD may well be up by the time that this is broadcast, because we are pre-recording this show. Eric, I want to thank you so much for joining me again. We will of course be back soon with part 3 of the Phony War on Terror. I will of course be back with you all tomorrow, and until then, folks, bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the year on the Eurofolk Radio Network. If you'd like to support Andy's work, please go to his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, where his book, The Synagogue of Satan, is available in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.